promised, we are joined right now by the voice of the NHL on NBC for 15 years. He called 22 Stanley Cup Finals and 6 Olympics. He is an 8-time Sports Emmy Award winner. He was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2008. He was the second baseman at the 2012 Pittsburgh Pirates Fantasy Camp. He is the author of Off Mike, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice. That book is out right now. My guest is Doc Emmerich. Doc, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm super, Doc. I'm super, and it's great to hear your voice. Let me first ask you, after 50 years of broadcasting, you did announce your retirement last week. So how have the first few days of retirement been for you, Doc?
Let me suggest this, Jim. When you retire, don't launch a book the next day. Because it gets very busy very fast, and it was all the book launch date was determined 6 months ago, and the idea of me retiring was not determined until, probably early in the third round of this year's playoffs, which would have been sometime after Labor Day. But they all coincided at right around the same time because we had so much going on in hockey with the playoffs, and then the draft came right after that, and then free agency after that. And I didn't want to be a story that was occurring at the same time that the athletes were supposed to take center stage and needed to. So there really wasn't much time to shoehorn my retirement announcement in, except the Monday of a week ago. And so there it was. And then the book launch, which was long ago determined, became Tuesday. But I do get to talk to you. Where's the Dodgers parade going to be? Do you have any idea?
No, not at this point, Doc. Not at this point.
No, parades are hard to do now, aren't they? I know the Tampa Bay Lightning had one in the river that ran through downtown, so maybe that was what the Rays were going to do if, but it's different the way that we must celebrate, at least for a while longer.
No doubt about that. Everything is so different right now. Doc Emmerich is joining us. He's got a brand new book out. So, Doc, what made you decide that it was time for something new?
I would sit with people that were older than I was and they had retired, and they would maybe not make eye contact, Jim, but they would sort of look off in the distance and say, so how much longer are you going to do this? And my immediate thought was, although I didn't say it, what, does it sound like maybe I need to? But they would say, you'll know when it's time. And somewhere during the second and third round, I realized it had been 50 years since I covered my first NHL game and 40 years of doing NHL games on television, and those were round numbers. Plus, it was about that time that NBC told me that I would be okay to stay in my home and continue to do play-by-play of the third and fourth rounds of the playoffs. And that was not a tribute to me. It was a tribute to them and their loyalty to me and their protection of me all along to make sure that I stayed safe, because I've got a couple of boxes to check. One is my birth certificate, and another is that I have had cancer in my background, and you might be rolling the dice a little more if you wound up traveling, even though the bubble was very secure in both Toronto and Edmonton. But it just seemed like that was the time that I should be very fortunate in thinking that my health was good currently, knock on wood, and my wife's was too, and that with all of these great seasons and opportunities that I had, it was time to move on to another chapter and still enjoy the fact that they're going to give me a team jersey and let me do some video essays.
You bet. Doc Emmerich is joining us. He is the author of a brand new book, Off Mike, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice. Doc, Al Michaels said this of you, and I quote, "You have made the game so much more relevant, interesting, relatable, exciting. I think just in listening to you, people who love hockey and are in that cult, we love you. You've also brought a lot of people into the game who might not otherwise have paid attention to hockey," end of quote. Doc, you and I have spoken in the past about being the voice of hockey in America. Now that you have retired and you can look back and reflect, what does that title mean to you?
Well, it's applied to me by other people, and when it's applied to you by Al Michaels, who has had the most famous call in the history of hockey in the United States, that is a tremendous compliment. It was Al Michaels who also said of me once, I could make a cockroach race look interesting or bring it to life for you. And I've often thought about what a cockroach race would look like.
Right.
And I don't know whether you would put different colored sweaters on them like you would put different colored silks on horses for a race or what. But what a creative way to think. And, of course, that's what Al's done all his life. But I don't know what that mantle is like because other people have attributed it to me. I just know that I've felt very blessed to get in free to see over 3,700 games and to have gotten a chance to see some very great athletes perform. And that, I guess, is the thing that I'm happiest about looking back over all these years, plus the people I've gotten to work with, and occasionally to get on your show and chat about it all. When you consider that Bobby Hull and Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe were playing at the beginning of the time that I started watching hockey, and then Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin and Connor McDavid and people like that were playing at the end, gosh, I've had a chance to see an awful lot. I'm really lucky.
Doc Emmerich is joining us. His book is now out. You know, Doc, when you mentioned some of the legends of the game, let me ask you about this, because there are so many great stories and anecdotes in the book. But 3 years ago at the All-Star Game here in Los Angeles, you hosted a roundtable with Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux, Sidney Crosby, and Jonathan Toews. Knowing where you started and the passion you have for this game, what was it like for you to be amongst those five legends?
I didn't sleep the night before, Jim. I don't know if you've ever had that before. You had an interview that was maybe head and shoulders above the normal interview you might have. But I didn't have I prepared like crazy. But I didn't have a lot of rest the night before. And my first question was, do any of you have a question for anyone else? Hmm. And if no one says anything, you've dropped a bomb on your very first question to try and get it started.
Right.
And Wayne Gretzky came to my aid because there was a picture of Bobby Orr in that famous 1970 Cup clinching goal scored at Boston Garden against St. Louis flying through the air. And Wayne's reaction to that question got us started with laughter. He turned to Orr and said, "Did it hurt when you fell?"
Huh.
Great. And that got us started. But I think the most awesome thing about that was to be in the presence of those five stars, a couple of them still active players, and to have the young guys just listen to what the guys from previous eras went through and could look back on in their careers. Because Mario and Wayne and Bobby Orr were all not only wonderful players but ambassadors for the sport. Just like Jonathan Toews and Sidney Crosby are currently. So it was just being in the presence of great people. And I had several questions that I didn't get time to ask at the end. But one of them was totally selfish, because since 1959, I've been a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and the last 30 years, as you know, have not been good. And there has been some controversy about how much the owner is putting into the team, and in baseball it helps if you spend, and he does not. Mario tried to buy the team in 2010, and so my last question for him, which I didn't get time to ask, was, will you please consider making another offer for my favorite baseball team? But I never got to that.
Doc Emmerich is joining us. Such a good story. The book is called Off Mic, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice. Now, Doc, you write in the book also, and I've talked about this on the show, but you write about this brilliantly, quote, "The NHL's postseason is a quest. It's a mission. It's a life goal. It's more than a tournament. Even if you successfully complete the journey, you arrive at the finish line as battered, bruised, and weary as the opponents you conquered. It's all for a trophy you can't keep and a ring you rarely wear, I should say." Quote, end of quote. There's this great NHL commercial as well that cuts together one player after another who is speechless. They're emotional when they're with the cup. So how would you explain what the Stanley Cup means and why it is so unique and why it's so special?
Well, the ring that you don't usually wear, I remember talking to one of the Bruins in 2013, and that was 2 years after they had won Game 7 in Vancouver. And the rings are wonderful. They are loaded with diamonds. They are gaudy beyond belief. And I asked him how many times he'd worn his ring, and he held up one index finger. That doesn't mean he doesn't appreciate it. It's just that they are so gaudy that you just don't wear them every day. You don't wear them but once every so often. But the name your parents gives you when you are born is what goes on the trophy, and it has ever since the NHL took it over in 1917, and it did even before that. And that's why they sacrifice so much. They've been paid really well during the regular season. The money doesn't mean much for winning the Stanley Cup because it's not substantial at all. Everybody gets the same amount, and it's not substantial at all. But do they ever sacrifice for it? John Madden, who played for the New Jersey Devils in 2003, they won the championship. And I saw him the next fall at a golf outing, and I said, how long was it after you guys finished up that you were pain-free? He said, I remember one day around the middle of July, and they won it in early June. He said, I remember getting out of bed in early July, and that was the first time I didn't hurt somewhere. But he had a smile on his face when he said it. But that's how long it takes for all that battering to wear off. Now, if you win it in Game 7 like John did over the Ducks, that means that there's some Ducks that lost Game 7 that have the same experience of going through that pain. But the bottom line is they are professionals, and professional means you're paid, but it's not great. 1979, quick story. John Davidson's playing for the New York Rangers. They go into the Stanley Cup final against Montreal. They win the first game. And then Montreal wins the next four. Great year for the Rangers. Didn't win the Stanley Cup. Great year for them. They are celebrated throughout New York. So now he's back home. Summer has begun. A couple of weeks have passed. And he steps to the front door, and there's the mail. So he's going through the mail just to see what's there. And there's a letter from the National Hockey League. He said, I wonder what they want. And he opens the letter, and inside is his playoff check. And he said, I forgot we got paid.
Wow. Isn't that something? Doc Emrick joining us.
That's why they really compete something. So hard. They forget about all that stuff. It's about getting your name on the trophy.
You know, Doc, when you tell that story, it makes me think that normally when somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money, except when you or they say it's not about the money, in that regard, it really is not about the money because he didn't even know that check was coming. You know, the interesting thing, Doc, also about the book, you and your wife, Joyce, have announced that 100% of the book sales will go to hands-on care of animals. Now, you have dogs, but you also have horses. For those who do not know, how did you first get involved with horses?
It was one of those things that neither I nor her twin brother knew, that from the time she was a little girl, she would like to have had a horse. And it was during that long lockout of 04-05 that she had mentioned it again. And 04-05 is 15 years ago. And I won't give away her age, but it was not the normal time that women start riding horses. But so anyway, we decided, okay, let's try one. And then there was a rescue of a horse that was left starving in a field. And you don't nurse a horse back to health by just giving it as much food as it wants all of a sudden. You gradually work it back to health. And it was for sale for the vet bills, $240. That horse is still with us today, and as best we can tell, it's around 31, 32 years old.
Wow.
A lot of it is just we have a soft heart for these creatures, but that money does not necessarily go to their upkeep. NBC has taken such good care of us over 15 years that we're able to sustain the horses and our dogs and ourselves. But there are occasionally situations where anonymously we can help out somebody that needs to have a surgery on a treasured pet that might need some financial help in accomplishing it, because some surgeries are not cheap. And even though local vets around where we live, and that'll be the case wherever any of your listeners are listening, there are probably situations like that if they want to lend a hand locally, where it might be a sort of a backdoor, hey, how much do you need to get this accomplished, and write a check that they can help save this animal. And there's a place here, one last thing, Jim, if you have time, there's a place here near us called DAWG, D-A-W-G. It's the Detroit Animal Welfare Group, and they wind up rescuing all kinds of creatures. I saw them bring in a possum and a crow and a duck just last week. Now, these are God's creatures, and they needed help, and there are some veterinarians that will treat animals like that. And these good souls go out, and they see that they're in need of help, and so they will bring them in, and they will eventually be released. I have a video of a turtle with a cracked shell that was eventually healed up, and the video is of the turtle being released back into a pond. Obviously, Jim, you know this means something because I'm giving you more detail than you probably really need this afternoon, but I really do appreciate your mentioning that because it means a lot to us, and it brings a smile to our face when you see a successful thing like that. You can't solve all the problems, but maybe a handful.
I love that, actually, Doc. I'm a big animal person, so I love that, and I think that cause is amazing. The book is called Off Mic, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice. The book is out right now. The proceeds go to that great cause. He is the voice of the NHL on NBC for 15 years, an 8-time Sports Emmy Award winner, and I would encourage you to get that book because it is out. Doc, I so appreciate the conversation and the relationship. I know this will not be the last time we have you on this show and we have this conversation, but congratulations on the book, and so good to have you back, Doc.
Great to talk to you, Jim, and I'm glad that it's not the last time. Wonderful. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you, Doc. Have a great day, and thank you so much. Absolutely, that will not be the last time. That is an icon. Like, I want to say, Doc, you do know you're Doc Emmerich, right? I mean, he's so modest and so humble and such an icon of the sport, of the industry, of the entire genre. And I'm getting a ton of reaction to it already. If you want to share your thoughts, I would love to have them either by phone or by social media. Carlin Prescott tweets, love hearing Doc Emmerich and his cause of hockey games. He will be missed. At Maytag Zach tweets, Doc is a national treasure. Hitman Canadian tweets, Doc is a legend. Hockey will definitely miss him. Happy trails. At Phoenix Tree Rat tweets, Van Smack, fantastic hearing from Doc. Man, such a legend in broadcasting. I've enjoyed so many games that he's called.